I've spoken on Joshua before, and many of you have heard me say that two of my favorite Bible characters are Joshua and Nehemiah, because I like people to either build something up or tear something down. Nehemiah built the walls, and Joshua tore down the walls of Jericho, at least that one city where they tore down the walls. But I believe that Joshua was one of the great men of the Bible. Of course, when we first read about him in the Bible, he's Moses' minister or his servant. And I think Joshua started as Moses' gopher. When Moses wants something, he'd say, "Joshua, go get it." And Joshua went and got it. So, and he was faithful in serving Moses. And as he was faithful and proved himself trustworthy, Moses gave him greater and greater levels of responsibility. Of course, we read in the book of Numbers that he was one of the 12 spies that Moses sent to send out a spy to see and search out the land of Canaan. Of course, he was only one of two of those 12 that came back and said, "We can take it. Let's just trust God. God will get, God promised to us, and He'll give it to us. Let's just trust Him." So he was one of two that came back, he and Caleb. And then as he continued to mature and grow and again proved himself more faithful, he became the general of the army under Moses. And when Moses was leading the people of Israel through the promised land, it was Joshua that led the troops and led in battle. And then when Moses died, Joshua was chosen by God to be his replacement. And the Bible tells us that the spirit that God put upon Moses, he also put that same spirit upon Joshua. And we know, as we read earlier in the book of Joshua, that it was Joshua that led the people into the promised land. Remember, they crossed the Jordan River. God split that river just like he did the Red Sea, and they entered into the promised land on dry ground. Of course, Joshua led them in the first battle that they fought in the promised land, the Battle of Jericho. And you remember the story there, very unusual battle plan, marching around the city one time for 6 days and then seven times on the seventh day, and God made the walls to fall. And they took that first city in the promised land, a preview of what God was going to do throughout. And it was Joshua that led the people all the way through the book of Joshua in conquering the promised land and taking city after city, defeating people after people, nation after nation. It was Joshua that was the leader of the people as they were taking the land that God had promised, the land of Canaan, the land that flowed with milk and honey. It's said of Joshua over in the book of Judges that he left nothing undone of all that Moses commanded the people to do. Of everything that God told Moses, and then Moses told the people, said, "These are my commandments, these are my principles, these are the things that I want you to do as my people." The Bible says that Joshua left nothing undone of all that Moses commanded the people to do. And so he was complete in his obedience to God. He kept every law, every commandment, every principle. When we read about him in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is an old man. He's near the end of his life. He's near the end of his command, the end of his watch, the end of his leadership of the nation of Israel. And in this particular chapter, chapter 24, in fact, my Bible says Joshua's last words to Israel. He's giving his farewell address. He's got all the people together, and he's given them the last bit of instruction, the last bit of commands that he's gotten from God, the last encouragement, the last admonition, however you want to say it. He's talking to the people for the very last time. He's going to die at the end of this chapter and is going to be buried. And the verses that Brother Chuck read a moment ago that we read with him, follow along as he read verses 14 and 15, he's telling the people that they need to make a choice. He says, "Choose your God. Choose your God." He said, "You have some choices. You can choose the gods that your fathers served before the flood, before Noah built the ark, and before God destroyed the world with a flood. They served gods back then. You have the choice. You can serve those gods. Or you can serve the gods that they served in Egypt. Egypt served many different gods. They worshiped many, many different gods. He says you have a wide range of selections if you go back to the time we spent in Egypt. You can pick any one of those gods. We've seen the gods that the Amorites serve, the people whose land that we've taken. They have a lot of different gods. You can choose any one of those. He says, I want to tell you what my choice is. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve Jehovah God. This morning I want to share with you four things. Four points from these little two verses that are just as the choice that Joshua asked the people to make that day as he stood giving his farewell address is just as relevant today as it was thousands of years ago when he stood and did this. 4 points. Number one, you choose your God. You get to choose your God. Now let me hasten to say, I believe there's a God that created the heaven and the earth and everything that's in it. Amen? I don't believe it happened with the Big Bang Theory. I don't believe that we are here as a result of a single cell that evolved into what we are. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them. I believe that God made me. And I know I had a mother and I had a dad. But I believe that I was conceived according to the plan of God. I was born according to the plan of God. He made me. If you got a problem with me, you got to blame God. Well, maybe not. I've had some things to do with it the past 52 years. But He made me. And He loves me. And He has a plan for my life. And I believe that there's a God, having done all that, has chosen me and wants me to be a part of His family. Now, I believe the same thing about every one of you. I believe that God made you, just as maybe not in the literal sense, like He made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, but I believe that you're here today because there was a God in heaven that oversaw your conception and birth. I believe that God loves each one of you. I believe that God has a plan for each one of your lives. And I believe that God has chosen every single person in this room this morning to be part of His family. I know there's people that say, well, God predestined some to be part of His family and predestined others not to be part of His family. That's not in the Bible. I know the word predestination's in the Bible, but that idea, that thought is not in the Bible. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's chosen every single person, including you and I, to be part of His family. But I also believe that God gives us a choice. God didn't force me to choose Him. God doesn't force you to choose Him. He made every single one of us a free moral agent, which means I get to decide and you get to decide which God will serve. Which means I get to decide and you get to decide which God will worship. Which means we get to decide which God will trust. And that's the way it's been for every single person that's ever lived. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they chose to eat the fruit and to disobey God, they were choosing their God. Cain and Abel, when they brought their offerings to the God, were choosing which God they were going to serve. Noah made that choice when he built the ark. Abraham made that choice when he decided to leave Ur of the Chaldees. Isaac made that choice. Jacob made that choice. Moses made that choice. Joshua made that choice. Every one of the people that we read about in the Old Testament, every one of the people we read about in the New Testament, got to do the very same thing that you and I get to do. We get to choose our God. My grandfather had that choice. My father had that choice. My son had that choice. If I have a grandson and a great-grandson, they will have to make, they will get that same choice. They get to choose their God. Every person here this morning gets to choose their God. You get to choose who you'll worship. You get to choose who you'll trust. You get to choose who you'll serve. And so what Joshua said to this group of people as they gathered this day, as he was saying goodbye, is just as relevant to us today as it was to them. Because we get to choose the God that we will serve. Number two, we have the same choices today that they had in Joshua's day. In Joshua's day, he gave them choices. He says, you can serve the gods of this world. That includes the gods that we served on the other side of the flood. That includes the gods that we saw served in Egypt. That includes the gods we see served by this people whose land that we've taken. The gods of the world. You can choose those gods. Or you can choose God. Jehovah God. And I want to tell you something. It hasn't changed. We still make our choices from those two alternatives. The gods of this world or the God of heaven. The gods that people set up and worship in their lives today, and they vary from land to land, from country to country, or the one true God that the Bible talks about. And I think it's very interesting, and I think it's very important how Joshua set up the choice in verse 15. He says, you can serve the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. Now here's what he was saying when he said that. You can pick those gods, but they couldn't help your fathers when the flood came. You can pick those gods, but they couldn't save your fathers from the destruction of the flood. You can pick those gods, but they sure couldn't help when the wrath of God was pouring on the world in the form of the flood. The only reason those gods still exist is because somebody on the ark wasn't quite right. I don't know which one it was, Brother Leonard. I know you'd like to think about weird things like me. I just wonder which one of those eight people that were on the ark brought along these gods. Don't think it was Noah. I don't know, maybe Ham, maybe Shem, maybe Japheth, maybe one of their wives, I don't know. But somebody snuck one of these gods onto the ark, and it was still in existence. And Joshua said, hey, you can serve the gods that were on the other side of the flood, but understand when the flood came, those gods couldn't help anybody. And the only reason they're still around is they hitched a ride on the ark of salvation that God told Noah to build. Joshua said, I'm going to choose the God that saved them from that destruction. I'm going to choose the God that picked Noah. I'm going to choose the God that told Noah to build the ark. I'm going to choose the God that shut Noah in the ark. I'm going to choose the God that saved those eight people and all the animals that were in the ark from the wrath of God. That's who I'm going to choose. Now, I'll say to you today, as you make your choice, you can choose your gods from the gods of this world, but they will not save you from destruction. You can choose the gods that the world has to offer, but they will not save you from the wrath of God. You can choose all the things that the world serves today and all the things that the world worships today, but not one of those gods can save you from hell. The Bible says that only the God of Joshua, only Jehovah God, provides salvation. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus, captain of the Lord's army, who met Joshua before he went into battle and fought the battle of Jericho. Joshua asked him, are you on our side or on their side? And Jesus said to him, hey man, I'm on your side. Go fight the battle because you're going to win. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You get to choose this morning, and you can choose the gods of this world. But I'll tell you the same thing that Joshua told his folks. They can't help you when the destruction comes from God. They can't help you when God pours out His wrath. Those gods can't save you from hell. And then Joshua said this. He says, you can choose the gods that were on the other side of the floods, or you can choose the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Now notice what he was saying. Those gods, you can choose them, but they won't give you victory. I mean, we defeated this people. We live in their land. We took what was theirs. And their gods couldn't help them one bit. Joshua says, you can choose them if you want, but I'm going to choose the God, as he goes on in verse 17. The one that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did these great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Joshua said, that's the God I'm going to serve. Now I say to you today, you can choose the gods of this world, but those gods won't give you victory. You can choose the gods of this world, but those gods won't see you through trials in your life. You can choose the gods of this world, but they won't help you through heartaches. David talks about the kind of gods this world has to offer in the book of Psalms. He says, they have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have mouths, but they can't speak. They have hands, but they can't handle. They have feet, but they can't go. So if they go anywhere, somebody's got to carry them and get them there. And David does the same thing that Joshua did. He compares those kind of gods to his God, to Joshua's God, when he says, thy way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed the people. The Apostle John said the same thing in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he which is in you than he that is in the world. So, I say with Joshua, choose your God. You can choose those who can't save you from destruction, or you can choose the one that's the author of salvation. You can choose those that can't help in time of trouble, or you can choose the one who's a very present help in time of trouble. Joshua said, I choose the God of salvation. I choose the God of help. Number three, this choice of choosing your God you have to make today. He said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. It's not a choice of yesterday. Not a choice for tomorrow. It's today's choice. Same is true today. June the 22nd, 2003. There's some here today that need to choose the God of salvation. Up to this point, you depended on the gods of this world. And if you die today having your dependence and your trust in those gods, you'll go straight to hell because there's no god of this world that can save you. You need to choose today. You say, well, I'm not going to choose. Well, that's your choice. Then you're going to keep continuing to choose the gods of this world. You have to choose today. You can't leave this place. We won't end this service without you making a choice. You either decide for Jesus or you will reject Jesus and continue to serve the gods of this world. So every single person here that doesn't know Christ has to choose today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But let me remind every single Christian, you too will make a choice today. You say, well, I've already decided for Christ. I've already been saved. I'm already on my way to heaven. That's good. That's wonderful. I hope everybody here, that's your testimony. I hope everybody can hear. Hope everybody here can say, I'm saved. I know, just like the Bible says, that I can know that I'm on my way to heaven because I've put my trust and faith in Jesus Christ. You still have a choice to make. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whom ye will serve. You say, well, I made that choice a long time ago. No. You make it every day. And I make it every day. Well, I served God yesterday. That's wonderful. Glad you did. What are you going to do today? Well, I'm going to serve God tomorrow. Well, I hope tomorrow comes so we can. But tomorrow is tomorrow. The choice you face is not tomorrow, it's not yesterday, it's today. Who will you serve today? Who will you worship today? You see, each day for the Christian is a new opportunity. Each day for the Christian is a new choice. On Sunday, June the 22nd, 2003, Which God will you serve? Now, the fact that you're in church this morning means you're started on a good choice. Started on a good choice. What you're going to do this afternoon, what you're going to do tonight. You see, we choose every day who we will serve. Choose you this day, as Joshua says, the God that you will serve. And then number four, the leader's choice impacts the followers. The leader's choice impacts the followers. Joshua said, you can choose which God you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Here's my choice. I choose the God of salvation. I choose the God of victory. I choose the God who brought us out of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, who led us into the promised land and has wrought victory in every battle except for Ai, and they finally won that, but who has wrought victory in every battle that we face. That's the God that I choose. And you go down to verse 31. Let me read it for you. If you don't have your Bible still open, that same chapter. And the Bible says this, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. All the days that Joshua lived, the nation of Israel served Joshua's God. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. I'll say to every mother and father that's here today, choose you this day, your choice will impact your children. It'll impact your children. I say to every grandpa and grandma that's here today, choose you this day whom ye will serve, your choice will impact your grandchildren. I say today to every Sunday school teacher, choose you this day whom ye will serve, your choice will impact your students. I say today to the pastor, choose you this day whom ye will serve, your choice will impact the congregation. Your choice. Who will it be? The gods of this world or the God of salvation? Your choice. Who will it be? The gods of this world or the God of victory? I hope each one of us can say like Joshua, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this simple reminder from your word. Thank you for this example that we have in this man called Joshua, a leader, a general, a statesman, but Father, a Christian who made a choice to serve you. I pray this morning for every single person that's here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I pray this morning, Father, they can clearly see that no gods of this world will help them, that there is only one way to come to you, and that way is the way of the cross, the way of the Savior, the way of Jesus. And I pray if it's a man, a woman, a teenager, maybe somebody that doesn't come very often, or maybe somebody that comes every week, I pray, Father, if they've never received Christ, that today would be their day of salvation. They would not leave this place again rejecting Jesus Christ. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray that as we choose today who will serve, you'll help us make the right choice. You'll help us choose you. In every action and every thought and every deed that we do today, I pray that we would choose to serve the God of salvation, the God of victory. Bless the invitation now. Use it as you see fit. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Instruct us and help us to be obedient as to what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.